Chapter 20. Everything's going according to plan. That thrills Jazz in no small way. The plan is everything. Designing one is like making a clock. All these little parts working together, turning, tugging, ticking. And at the end of the day, it either tells time or it doesn't. And this plan, it's going along like clockwork. She got to take out the pulse mines first. Jazz took up the same place on the plateau overlooking Golas Aram's compound, and she used the scope on her slug thrower to identify the electronic signatures from each of the mines. Then it was the simple act of pointing the gun, emptying herself of breath, and pulling the trigger. The first one did what it was supposed to do. It went bang. And that sound was a signal to get the rest of the plan going. Kilometers away, Temin and Bones got to work on cutting the conduit from the wind farm that Solo had identified. That knocked out the fence and the turrets. And it's allowed Sinjir to head down under the cover of night to Aram's compound. She spies his shadow darting through the fence now. To keep him on his toes, Jazz pops off more mines ahead of him. The pulse mines detonate with buzzing explosions, leaving behind small craters and a crackling haze of ozone smoke in their wake. He's closing in on the compound. Suddenly, from all around, shutters and doors open up. New shadows emerge, shapes that seem human but move with an inhuman stutter step. Droids, she thinks, and that's confirmed the moment they ignite fire-red vibroblades from their hands. She sees a dozen of these droids, maybe more, advancing on Sinjir's position. And now, the clock is threatening to break. Down there, outside the compound, the darkness is lit up by strange glowing vibroblades. They draw glowing arcs through the air as they advance towards Sinjir. The ex-Imperial dashes behind an old motivator tiller, peeling off shots from his pistol. But it's not enough. That is where Jazz comes in. Her slug thrower kicks and barks as she takes out one droid after the next. Hard to see in the dark, but she does her best. The droids offer a satisfying rain of sparks every time she peels the skull off one with a hot tanium-jacketed projectile. She thinks, I got this. Confidence, or rather overconfidence, is a blinding force. And it doesn't help that she's got one open eye pressed against the ring of the rifle scope, which means she hears what's coming 1 second too late. Soon as the thirst grass shakes and whispers, Jazz quick rolls over onto her back and points her rifle up. But a thrumming vibroblade ignites in the darkness above her, whipping forward and slicing through the barrel of her slug thrower. It gets stuck there, buzzing and grinding, sparks flying, and the weight of the commando droid presses down against her. She tries kicking the thing off her, but it's like trying to kick an astromech with its legs grav-bolted to the floor. As she struggles uselessly, the droid's second vibroblade lights up and plunges toward her. Jazz jerks her head to the side just as the blade sticks into the hard scrabble ground. Dust and debris sting her cheek. The droid starts to spasm and glow. Its mouthpiece offers a loud announcement.
Destruct sequence engaged.
Slag. The commando droid shines like magma through a broken mantle of stone, and it's vibrating so hard now that Jazz feels like she, too, will rattle to pieces. She struggles to shove the thing off before it detonates, surely taking her with it, leaving her little more than a red streak in a smoking crater. In the distance, she hears Sinjir yelling for her.
I have my own problems, she thinks. If she can just pivot the gun...
The barrel is broken, the vibroblade still stuck in it, but firing a round out will still make a mess of the droid. Maybe. But she needs to aim it toward the thing's head. Her muscles scream as she willfully turns the gun centimeter by miserable centimeter.
Destructing in three.
She grits her teeth, turning the weapon. So close, so close.
Two.
Her finger searches for the trigger.
One.
No, I'm too late!
A laser lances through the air, cutting clean through its steel neck. The droid's head tumbles off its shoulders. Searing metal bits seem to burn holes in the air as the mechanical skull rolls away into the grass. The commando droid's body slumps to the side. That wasn't the culmination of a self-destruct sequence. Someone did that. Someone who steps up to Jazz, standing over her and offering a hand. The rich baritone of John Burrell's voice reaches her.
You know, Amari, I leave you alone for a second and you go make sweet with a droid. You're lucky I'm the jealous type.
Shut it, Burrell. Fall in line. Sinjir needs our help.
She pretends like it's nothing at all that he's come back, that he's chosen loyalty to their little team. She'll never tell him about the flutter in her chest at hearing his voice again. She'll hardly acknowledge it herself, even though it feels like she has a flock of birds trapped inside her ribcage. Inside the house now, inside Aram's compound. Outside, in the dark, lie the sparking bodies of Aram's droids and the smoldering craters of where the mines were. Inside, though, there's nothing. Or rather, no one.
Blast it!
Sinjir says, coming back through the house. Jazz warns him.
Be careful. We don't know that he didn't trap this place.
Is he here or not?
John Burrell asks. To which Sinjir responds.
No, he's not here.
And by the way, when the hell did you show up?
Burrell grunts and shrugs.
He's gone, Sinjir says. Half his computer systems are fried. His droid docks are empty. Either we met the clanking monstrosities that were in there, or he's got a whole gaggle of them marching with him somewhere.
Where'd he go?
Jom asks.
I don't exactly know, do I? My job is to ask questions, and it's bloody hard asking questions of someone who isn't here.
Jazz says.
We know he has tunnels dug under his place.
Han and Nora went down to intercept him, in case he made it that far. She pulls up her comlink.
Solo!
Nothing but a crackle.
Solo! Report in!
Comes a voice. Sounds like the smuggler. And he doesn't sound good.
What happened?
She asks.
That big-headed freak surprised me. Was...
Over the comm come more groans, followed by a fit of coughing.
Was riding a hover chair, and the damn thing shocked the hell out of me when I reached for him.
What happened to Nora?
I don't know where she is. Before Aram came through, she said she was going to check something out. And then... Then I got suckered.
She has to remind herself Aram really isn't their mission. He's Solo's problem. And if Solo let him go, well, that's that. Jazz will tell Temin to have Mr. Bones bag and tag the smuggler. They'll toss him in the back of the Halo and fly him back to Chandrilla. Just the same, where is Nora? As if on cue, another crackle, as Nora's voice comes over the comm.
I got him.
You got who? Aram?
I did.
How?
I followed one of the sub-tunnels out. It ended up at a small solar shuttle prepped on a platform. The nav computer was already loaded with a destination. Seems Aram has family on Seleucami. I hid. Aram hopped in, tried to take off. I stunned him. He's heavy, though. I could use a flyby. Bring the Halo in to pick up the prize?
Jazz grins ear to ear.
You got it, boss.